says, it's just good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? If you had a bad week, it should be good to be in the house of the Lord. And you should notice that when you come into the house of the Lord and your day gets better or your week gets better, it's because you're worshiping. And you can do that at home too. Amen? Amen. 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 Okay, let's get started this morning with part 9 in our series, The Lord is My Shepherd. Only one more to go, I think. Only one more. And I'll start with the same question that I asked last Sunday, and that is this. Have you ever heard someone say, have you ever heard somebody say, wow, man, that man or that woman, they are so anointed. I mean, they can really preach, man. They can really teach. I hope you say that about Central Family. Yeah, right. So I ask you this because that statement is often made in Christian circles. If you haven't heard it, you will. It's not an if, it's a when, okay? But what does it really mean? I mean, we so many times say these cliche-ish type of things without even really knowing what they mean, okay? Amen? Amen. Amen. And we do it with the Bible way too often, all right? What does it really mean when people call other people anointed? And is the anointing, okay, the anointing, something that every believer can expect to experience in their Christian walk, or is the anointing just for a select few, some super spiritual individuals? And is the anointing something that we should look forward to? Well, the good news is, okay, the good news is, the anointing of God is available for everybody, absolutely everybody, no matter what your past. Amen? That means it doesn't matter what happened yesterday. Come on. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all has become new. Amen? It's new. It's new. Our life is new. And I want to talk to you this morning about the anointing, okay? Because it's just another one of the supernatural promises that you and I are promised as a born-again child of God. How many of you in here are born again? All right, let's hold it. How many in here are born again? I'm just looking to see who I got to talk to afterwards, okay? All right. All right. But it is. It's something that you and I are promised as the children of God. In Psalm 23, verse 5, David writes this. He says, you anoint my head with oil. You anoint my head with oil, and then my cup runs over. If you were wondering what the term meant, you anoint my head with oil, what it means is this. It's when God anoints you, all right, when God anoints you, it means that he personally places his hands on your life, not physically. He doesn't come down out of heaven and grab you by the head, all right? Amen? No, but he does it personally in the Spirit. The anointing of God is when God lays his hands on you personally and imparts, if you will, a degree of the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. 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 The next question is this, all right, and we'll get to the Bible declaration. This is a really long sermon. No, not really, but the next question is, well then, you know, how do you know when you're anointed? I mean, do you feel it? How do you know when you're anointed? Is it when you really sing well on a Sunday morning? How do you know when you're anointed? I'm going to tell you, one way you can tell is because everybody else can tell who are around you. Amen? When the hand of God is on your life, people will see it, okay? But after saying all of this, the subject that we're going to look at in verse 5 is this. As God's children, he promises to anoint you and I with the oil of his Holy Spirit until your cup runs over. I think that's awesome, amen? Until your cup runs over. Glory to God. Why don't you stand with me, please, and we will do our Bible declaration. You thought I might have forgot. Sorry. Everybody take their Bible. Hold it up to heaven this morning. and say this: this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. Let's go. And Gary, can you come, please, and pray for the message?
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for Pastor Wes. God, I thank you that today, Lord, that as he speaks your word, God, that your anointing would flow to each one of us, God. Father, I thank you that we will walk out of this place changed. Father, I thank you that we will have a greater desire for the anointing of which he's going to teach. Lord, we just praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gary. I want you to understand this morning that the anointing that's promised to you and I in Psalm 23:5 is a promise that God will personally lay his hands on your life. Again, not physically, but personally will lay hands on your life and empower you to do extraordinary, supernatural, God-ordained, divine things. How many of you would like that to happen in your life?
Amen.
Amen. And the imagery of a cup running over simply demonstrates even further. But the cup running over demonstrates and exemplifies God is, and hear me please, God is more than enough. Amen. He is more than enough. And that's the title of the message this morning, which is part 9 of our series, The Lord is My Shepherd. The message is entitled, More Than Enough, okay? He's more than enough. Why is God more than enough? Because he always, say always, he always equips those he calls, I know you've heard that, with exactly what the assignment calls for. In other words, he always supplies more than enough. You think you know what you need, God gives you more than that. Amen? How many of you, in many ways, since you've been saved, have seen that God gives more than enough? Amen? He gives more than enough. He always gives more than enough. And I you know, that ought to make you shout this morning. I really feel that way. Because when he equips you, he always, say always, you will always have what you need to succeed. God asks you to do something, he gives you the exact tools that you need and more. Gives you a couple extra wrenches in case you set one down and can't find one. Okay? All right. In the Old Testament, it records a number of individuals who served as shepherds, okay? Two of which are Moses and King Cyrus of Persia. Moses, who all of us are familiar with, was a shepherd to the nation of Israel as they transitioned out of Egyptian bondage and began to make their way toward the promised land. King Cyrus acted as a shepherd to Israel as they departed from the Babylonian exile to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And then, of course, we have the third shepherd that we know of, anyway, okay? The third one on the list is a shepherd boy named David, who was anointed to become king, who wrote more than 70 of the Psalms, including Psalm 23, which is, and would you repeat it with me, please, as it goes up on the screen behind me. Are you ready? Okay, you're only going to have to do this one more time, okay? Hopefully some of you have memorized it in this past 10, 11 weeks or so, okay? Are you ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. How many? All the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's an amazing psalm, really. And it's so unfortunate, really, that we only, I shouldn't say only, but that we often hear it quoted at funerals. Because it doesn't bring bad news, amen? It brings good news. It isn't a quiet psalm. It's an exciting jump up and down. Look what God has given me psalm. Let me repeat again what David said in verse 5 of Psalm 23. He said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. There are three different anointings, if you will, that David experienced during his lifetime. So if anyone was familiar with the process of being anointed, all right, it was King David, amen? The first time David was anointed was in the company of his brothers, okay? We witness this in 1 Samuel 16, 13, it says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Please notice this first anointing was done in a small, intimate environment with only a few of David's closest family members in attendance. Nevertheless, from that day forward, from the time that God personally laid his hands on David's life, are you with me? He was different. Something notably changed in David's life. And that something was this. It was the presence of the Spirit of the Lord in his life. And those around him, and now you have to understand, David's life was an anointed life. You have to agree with me on that. And those around him could see it. They could tell. They could see it. Okay? Okay, I hope you're with me. And I might have to get a new iPad because just now, it just left me with no message, but I've got it. But the people around David could tell something was different in his life. And I want to tell you this morning, when God anoints your life, the actual Spirit of God comes to rest upon your life, amen? And when that happens, you become a different person. You can't help but be somebody different, amen? You can't help but when the divine comes and rests on you and in you, you can't help but be a different person. What we have to realize is that God's touch on your life will change your life. Amen? God's touch on your life will change your life. And just like David, when the Spirit of the Lord comes into your life, everybody around you will take notice. Again, just, and I want you to remember this, because God's touch on your life absolutely changes your life. About 10 to 15 years later, David was anointed for a second time. This time, while he was living in the city of Hebron, okay? And we see it in 2 Samuel 2:4. Then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. Here we see that the nation of Judah, recognizing the hand of God on David's life, or the Spirit of God in David's life, and as a result of that noticing, they anointed him king over all of Judah. All of Judah. David's influence was starting to grow in advance. And that's going to happen to you too. Amen? As you get anointed by God, God will give you more opportunities. Come on. He'll give you more opportunities to minister what he's already ministered to you. Amen. Okay. Shortly after that, David was anointed again for the third time, this time in the presence of all of the tribes of Israel. We see this in 2 Samuel 5:3 through 5. Therefore, all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. Please notice something about this, okay? With each anointing that David received and experienced in his life, okay, there came this greater level of God's authority imparted into his life. Amen? And his sphere of influence just began to grow. As he began to get anointed, as he began to get into the place where God needed to have him be in, things began to grow for him. What you have to understand is this example of David, you know, in his life shows you and I that God gives his anointing, if you will, in stages. Come on. I'm only telling you what the Bible says here. He gives it in stages, one level of intensity, if you will, and one level of authority at a time. That's the way that it goes. Now let's read 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. Okay? Again, please notice here, okay? Because God has a process or a plan, if you will. He first establishes us and then he promotes us. Come on, are you with me? He first establishes us and then he promotes us. Paul was showing you and I that before we can receive the anointing like David did, I mean, I don't think I know a man in the church who hasn't sometime in their life said, I want to be just like David. I want to be a man after God's own heart. I want to be just like David. Amen? Amen? But Paul was showing us that before we can receive the anointing like David did, there's an establishing that has to take place in our life. You know, I'm probably going to get in trouble here. Don't let me get in trouble, okay? The anointing isn't cheap, okay? Oh, I've heard that before. Yeah, well, just hear me. It takes prayer. It takes commitment. It takes a chasing after God. It takes a going after God like he's the thing that only he matters. Amen? And you get the anointing. Where I'm going to get in trouble is you can't go to brother so-and-so and have him lay his hands on you and have you get the anointing. I don't care if it's this great big old, you know, evangelistic crusade, come see, you know, Brother Bob, he will touch you and you will be anointed by God. I'm sorry. That doesn't work for us. Okay? How do I know that? It never worked for me. Amen? Amen. Oh man, I thought it was so cool that I could just go to somebody and get everything that these other people work so hard to get. No, it doesn't work that way. All right, I'll stop meddling. All right. Let me show you what God did in David's life. David first had to learn, okay, as a shepherd boy, okay, to serve in silence. Without the encouragement and the accolades of men encouraging him and pushing him forward, as in shepherding his father's sheep without being praised for it. How many long nights did he spend without somebody saying, yo, David, good job. Man, David, you're the man. You're the shepherd, David. You know, he didn't hear that. And he had to learn how to be successful and still not hear people praising him. Because, well, like it or not, you and I deem a degree of our success by how much somebody says about us. Or at least the person sitting behind you does, okay? That's the way it is. But David had to learn that. You got to serve in silence. You got to know what it's like to just serve just and do your very best. But nobody says anything, and you have to be okay with that, okay? And after David learned how to do that, then he was anointed the first time, okay? In between his first anointing and his second anointing, there was a lot of life experience experienced, amen? A lot of life experience that added wisdom and understanding into David's life. Tools that he would need to lead God's people. That he could not receive any other way than the way that God had them come into his life. Amen? What was happening? He was being established. Between the first anointing and the second anointing, he was being established. And then finally, when he had gained enough wisdom, when he had gained enough understanding, he was ready for the second promotion, where he was anointed for a second time as king over Judah. And then before the third anointing, even more maturing. And even more adding of understanding and wisdom was imparted to him as he was being prepared and anointed to be anointed for the third time. Do you see it? Establishing anointing. Establishing anointing. God was establishing him the way only he could do. How many times have people told you, you should do this, but until God convicts you of it, you can't do it? You know, when God speaks into your life, it makes a difference. Okay? When other people speak into your life, not so much. Okay? But do you see it? Establishing anointing. And then you might wonder why God uses this process. Why does he do this? It's because you and I, you know, might be really eager to get started with the vision or the dream or the call that God has placed in our hearts. And you wish things could just move faster, okay? I mean, I can remember, amen? I can remember when I finally knew that I was called into full-time ministry, I wanted it now. You know what I mean? I wanted it right now. And I didn't understand what God was waiting for. I mean, he called me, right? He'll equip me, right? Why isn't he making it happen for me? I mean, I was ready to start the day it was confirmed to me. But instead, I had to wait for what seemed like an eternity for it to become a reality. Why? This is why. Because God isn't focused on the clock like you and I are. Amen? Instead, God's more concerned with cultivating qualities within us like character and integrity and faithfulness and purity of heart. He first establishes us. And then he anoints us. He first establishes in us a rock-solid foundation on the inside of you. Amen? A rock-solid foundation. And that rock-solid foundation is what will sustain you. Of course the Lord will sustain you. But that rock-solid foundation will sustain you for the work that he's called you to do. It doesn't work for someone to get saved and 5 minutes later they're put in charge of a church. It doesn't work for someone to be saved and 5 minutes later be the head of an evangelistic crusade. Hear me now. Who knows, maybe they're going to preach the best message anybody's ever heard. But is it inside of them? Has it been built inside of them yet to be able to stand when all the accolades of men come? Because David had to learn to do without that. And anytime you're a leader, you have to learn to do without that, no matter what. All right, I'm getting off my notes a little bit. But I mean it. I mean it. I am so glad that I didn't pastor a church before I was established. Amen? Sometimes the establishing is a little painful. Amen? Sometimes it's a little bit painful, but somehow, in some way, God knows what will establish you. And I'm sure we've all heard this phrase, you know, don't put the cart before the horse, okay? I know, how many have heard that? Come on. Okay. Yet many people still struggle to keep the right things in the right place in their lives because we get impatient and we get frustrated and we think we know better. But God never, say never, God never gets the cart before the horse. He never answers anything too late. It only feels like it is too late to you and I. And it's up to us in our Christian life to train ourselves to accept his timing as well as his methods. Amen? Well, Pastor, I don't like his time. Well, you know, I don't like how he does that. Well, it's probably not going to change for you. You know, so you have to train yourself to understand all that stuff. Just know this, okay? Know this. It's always establish, anoint. Establish, anoint. Say it with me. Establish, anoint. One more time. Establish, anoint. The word establishes that is used in 2 Corinthians 1:21 is translated from the Greek word vabeoho, and it describes something that is firm and durable and dependable and reliable. And by using this word, Paul is telling you and I that God must establish us first, as we've been saying. In other words, he must first establish us in faith and firmness, so that we are durable enough to withstand the demands that your anointing brings. Okay? You get anointed by God, you've got to have some kind of a foundation. That's what I was saying just before. You've got to have something inside of you. And I'll tell you, the best thing to be inside of you, amen, is this word. You have to get that on the inside of you. But it's all for the simple fact that God wants us to withstand the demands that the anointing brings, okay? And be victorious in those spiritual battles that come along with it. He establishes us to be steadfast, to be trustworthy, and also dependable and reliable. If you, honestly, if you want God to promote you, how many in here would like God to promote you? If you're not raising your hand, you don't really know what I'm saying. But if you want God to promote you, to anoint you, and use you in a mighty way, these are the traits you need to yield to and allow God to form within you. Amen? It takes faith and it takes firmness. Come on, to spiritually stand for God. It does. Anyone that's a leader, okay, anyone that's a leader in the church needs to have this establishing of faith and durability. Otherwise, you know, I would have left the first time somebody told me, I'm not going to go to this church anymore, I'm not being fed, which was back when we, where did we start? Back in the school cafeteria. I'd have walked away because those things can hurt. Come on. And those things can go down inside deep unless you have a firmness about you that says, I know God has called me, and because I know God has called me, I'm going to stay. We got a word from somebody one time just after we had moved to Coopersville, and it was stay, stay, stay. So here we are almost 23 years later. But it was stay, stay, stay. And sometimes that word in itself has helped me at times when it gets a little tough. Okay? Because I'm going to stay, stay, stay. Amen? That should make you shout this morning. No. But God always makes sure, okay, that you are the mature person that he can rely on before he takes you to the next level of anointing. And please hear me. He does this for your sake. Okay? Because of his love for you and his protection of you. Do you understand that? He wants you to be prepared so that these hurtful things don't hurt. Maybe they still hurt, but they don't hurt. They don't go inside and stay. Amen? And God makes sure you're this mature person that he can rely on before he takes you to that next level of anointing. And understand, interestingly enough, the Greek word babeohu, which I'm slaughtering, that's translated here as established, is really a legal term. And it's kind of neat when you find out what it means. It describes a lengthy, intensive investigative process that's involved to validate a document to see whether it's trustworthy and can be relied upon. That's this established. And this was done because if those writing or copying that document weren't careful, mistakes could be made and serious legal consequences would come. If that document did have errors in it, the errors had to be corrected before the papers were signed and the seal of approval was given to proceed. Once the document was established, are you with me? Once it was established as valid, it could then be accepted and authorized. How does this apply to our situation? Why do you even bring that up, Pastor Wes? You know, did you just want to look smart? No, I don't know. But how does this apply to you and I in looking at this? Because God establishes us before he anoints us to promote us. Amen? Is this making sense to you this morning? And you're the only one that can answer the questions from your own life as you sense the anointings of God and the presence of God come on your life and you go to the next level, okay? And only you can say whether that's still happening or how far you are, but we can tell that it's happened. Because you can tell when somebody touches, when God touches somebody. You can tell. All right. But God establishes us before he anoints us and he promotes us. And if I can say it like this, God does his due diligence, all right, to check and find out if we are durable, if we're dependable, if we're reliable, and if we're trustworthy. I don't know if he does it to prove it to him or prove it to us. Amen? Because there's sometimes when I have to say what I should be in order to feel like I am that. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about sinful things. You know, I can endure. I'm not running. Amen? I'm not going to do that. You know, it's just like somebody saying, I'm healed. You know what I mean? Just, you know, it's important. Sometimes, and I've said this before, sometimes your mind has to hear what your spirit knows. Come on. I'm anointed. I wouldn't say that in front of you guys. Hey, you know what? Yeah. It's true. I'm anointed. Yeah. I'm anointed with humility. No. But if we are the things that God is checking for, looking for, confirming to us, okay, he gives us that new and greater level of his anointing, which brings a greater sphere of influence. Are you with me? The word anointed in the scripture, this really got me. This was really amazing, I thought. The word anointed in the scripture is a translation of the Greek word kreo, which means to rub or to bathe or to massage. Kreo is the root of, guess which word? Christ. Kreo, he is the anointed one, okay? You know, he's the one that bathes and rubs and massages his anointing. Amen? Oh, I could preach just on that. But in most cases, this word kreo was used to depict the actual action of someone being anointed with oil. Okay, specifically, oil was used for anointing of kings, as we see in King David, per se, or those ordained into a powerful position in society. In the Old and New Testament, it was primarily used to depict a person who is anointed by the Holy Spirit. When we read it in the Bible, we just automatically, it goes with it, okay? That's what it's primarily used to depict. But how many of you are glad this morning? Amen. How many of you are glad this morning that we can be filled with the Spirit? Amen. And anointed with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. Amen. I mean, what a privilege we have to have God living on the inside of us. Amen. Amen. But the anointing was an act used for setting someone apart for special or divine purposes. When a person was anointed with oil in the day, in ancient times, a prophet or a priest would pour oil not over their head, but into their hands, okay? Into their hands. Once their hands were doused with oil, they would then place their hands on the person who was to be anointed and begin to massage or press that oil into a person's head or hair. I was going to get some oil and use Pastor Josh. But I thought maybe not. Okay. Why was it done like that? Why wasn't it done with this, oh, man, I'm going to anoint you, you know? Because oil was very expensive in those days. It was not to be wasted. So the idea of turning a bottle upside down and pouring its contents onto a person's head was non-existent. That isn't the way that it happened. Okay? Oil was far too precious to be applied like this. And anyway, for a person to be actually anointed with oil, it required that the anointer put his hands on the one being anointed. That was part of it, as he rubbed or she rubbed the oil into your head. So in the truest sense, okay, anointing describes a hands-on experience. Amen. Remember who puts his hands on you to anoint you? All right. It it describes a hands-on experience. And the moment hands were publicly laid on a person, it was seen as an establishment or an endorsement or an approval. Now let's take this whole thing, and I think I really am just about done. Now let's take this whole thing, okay, and apply it to you and I, okay? Apply this principle that we're studying in Psalm 23, 5 and 2 Corinthians 1, 21. Here in these verses, we see God doesn't lay his hands on a person's life and thereby endorse them until he has first validated that the person is trustworthy of such an anointing. Have we established that? Okay, all right. This act of anointing, God doesn't carry it out before he performs in us a firm and reliable faith and firmness, again, and then he entrusts us with the greater anointing. He prepares us, he entrusts us, he promotes us. To be really clear, am I being clear? To be really clear, when a person is anointed, it means God has laid his hands on them personally. And the hand of God is now perpetually in and on their life. A change has been made. You're not who you used to be. Amen? David was not who he used to be. David could no sooner be the king over Judah, or for Israel, for that fact, he couldn't do it until he learned a lot of things. He learned, even before he learned that he was anointed to become king, he had a lot of life to learn. When he was anointed to be king, he had a whole lot of life to learn before he could get the tools that he needed to govern God's people. But to be really clear, the anointing, and I love this, it means God has laid his hands on you personally, okay? And the hand of God is now perpetually on you, unless you do something to make it get off. This is what God did with David after he had tested him and found him to be durable and dependable and trustworthy and just a man that could have that greater anointing, okay? We say so much, you know, I want to be just like David, a man after God's own heart, but are you willing to be established? And are you willing to pay that price of establishment? It's not all going to be bad, but it's going to be tough. You know, are we really willing to do that? And I hope the answer is yes. Amen? I hope it's yes. But after David tells us about the Lord and anointing his head with oil, and I really am just about done, he adds this to it. He adds, my cup runs over. Wow, my cup runs over. To grasp more fully what is being communicated to you and I here, we need to understand an important ancient world custom. Okay, in biblical times, when a person came into your home and you wanted to royally and lavishly welcome them in, you would pour perfume on their head. Amen? That's what you did. Wash their feet, whatever. David's use of this ancient custom in connection with the anointing of the Lord tells us something really interesting. David is saying here that our shepherd welcomes us into his family lavishly and extravagantly and at a great cost. All right? I mean, the good shepherd is so excited to welcome you into his flock that he pours out his oil in abundance over you and I. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So much so that, you know what happens? So much so that our cup overflows, that our cup runs over. It comes over the head, down the beard. You know, you remember the saying about the anointing of Aaron? Okay. And it fills my cup. Glory be to God. There is so much there. There is so much there, I'm not ever even going to use it. Amen? My cup runs over. Gee, you know, you should shout this morning at the fact that, you know, my cup runs over. Glory to God. Glory to God. The pessimist might say, my cup is half empty. The optimist says, my cup is half full. But the true follower of Christ, the true Christian, can proclaim, my cup is running over. Amen. My cup is running over. I've got more than enough. I serve a more than enough God, and he gives me more than enough, more than what I need to do, more than what I need to do this thing that he has given me to do. So I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be, you know, just really, really scared to do what God's called me to do, because I have what I need. But I don't just have what I need. I've got more than enough. Amen? More than enough. God's just more than enough God. No one prompted him to be that way except his love for us. Amen? No one said you need to be a more than enough God. He's just a more than enough God. The Bible says this in 1 John 2:20 in the Amplified. But you have been anointed by, you hold a sacred appointment from, you have been given an unction from, the Holy One. And you know all truth, the truth, or you know all things. God's desire to progressively pour out greater levels of his anointing in your life, even to the point of overflowing, I mean, that's his desire. That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to see in your life. Oh, not me. Yes, you. You don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. Well, yeah, but you know, No. Again, let's go back to the beginning. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I believe that. Amen? I believe that. And if you want to experience these greater anointings, if you will, allow him to prepare you in the everyday battles. Amen? Allow him, sometimes a battle is a battle because you think it's a battle. Does that make sense to anybody here this morning? It's really not so bad. You've just overthought it. But God wants you to be able to be victorious in every spiritual battle. Amen? And if we want those greater anointings, we have to let him prepare us. We have to let him fight through us and cooperate with his work in our lives. This is what David did. And so he was able to write this in Psalm 25. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Who's you? Who's God? My good shepherd. My good shepherd. My God. Okay? You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Man, just the awesomeness of that is hitting me right now. Okay? My cup runs over. Next week, as we wrap up our study in Psalm 23, we're going to focus on yet another one of God's supernatural promises found in Psalm 23:6, where it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord on Tuesday. Forever. See, I'm blessed, really. You know, I go to work here, so I get to dwell in the house of the Lord more than you guys get to dwell. It's awesome. Amen? It's awesome. But, church, you have to realize this, that it's time to let God establish you, amen, so he can anoint you, so he can promote you and prepare you, and so that he can more than anything show you that he is what? More than enough. Say that with me. More than enough. Say it again. God is more than enough. One more time. God is my more than enough. All right, whoa. God is my more than enough. One more time. I like it when everybody yells it. I don't get this, you know, or this. Anyway. God is my more than enough. Amen. Amen. If you take anything home this week, take that home, will you? God is more than enough. Amen. Amen. Why don't you bow your heads with me?